This is Speaking of Faith's Unheard Cuts. I'm Krista Tippett. You're listening to my unedited conversation with Cedric Goodhouse of the Standing Rock Reservation. He was in the studios of Prairie Public Broadcasting in Bismarck, North Dakota. This interview is included in our program, Reimagining Sitting Bull, Tatanka Iyotake. Download the MP3 of the produced show at speakingoffaith.org. And so we're trying to come at it in a few different ways. I did sit down with Ernie LaPointe at his home, and he's been identified as this most direct lineal descendant of Sitting Bull. But we're also talking to other people. I talked to Carol Barrett, who is, I think of her as kind of a bridge person, because she's not Lakota, but her children are Lakota and have taken part in the Sundance, and she's also a scholar of this, so she comes at it with a little bit different perspective. And she recommended you as someone who knows some of the songs around this Lakota Lifeways and this legacy of Sitting Bull.
Okay.
And I really want to, that's the backdrop, and I also understand that that what we can't do and shouldn't do would be, to like try to get tape recordings of a Sundance or whatever, right? What I'd like for you to help us with is a respectful and legitimate way for people just to get a sense of this, perhaps just in sound.
Okay.
So that's what we're looking for, and I think you're going to know better what you can offer that will give people just something to hear and experience. So I'd love for you to perhaps sing, and also just tell me, why you would, what it is about, something that you would want to choose that would be meaningful for you or for people in your community.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Some.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what the other people have shared with you, so I don't know how you're going to put this all together, but I'm willing to share with you some, and some perspectives. And then, as far as the music's concerned, we do, there is music, I think, that should be, art that could be shared. And we all know what's going on, what happened with these people at Sedona, with those
people
in the sweat lodge, and those of the in a Sioux culture and a Lakota culture, we're trying to distance ourselves from those people, because that is not, although it was said Native American ceremony, and it's been said like that countless times by media people, it isn't Native American.
Yeah,
that's kind of like the Jim Jones type of mentality that just, they just took something and piecemeal things and called it something, and media people are saying it's Native American and it's not.
Yeah.
So people have said that many times, but it's not Native American.
And that's what we want to avoid, is kind of voyeurism or even claiming that what we can give people is the whole story, right?
Yeah.
We were saying we can evoke this. We can hear some pieces of wisdom. We can perhaps hear some sound that will evoke it.
Good. And because there are like his personal song, and if people want to find things, that are sacred in nature, they're all over. They're all over the internet. They're all over being sold and stuff. But we don't want to be part of that.
Right.
There are songs like his personal,
like
honor
Sitting,
song.
Sitting Bull song?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there is a song like when they call it the surrender of Fort Buford. And actually, it wasn't a surrender. Our story says it was a exchange of lifestyle. He chose to, his people were starving. He chose that the better would be for them to have food and shelter. And so but his lifestyle would be no more. Mm-hmm. So he, in turn, took his rifle. He gave it to his son. His son gave it to this Buford guy, Colonel Buford or whatever his name was.
Right.
And he's the one that called it a surrender. But it wasn't a surrender. It was an exchange of lifestyle. You're going to give this lifestyle to my son, not to me. Hmm. So that was the deal. They were giving up this hunting type of lifestyle and like that. The lifestyle would be given to his son.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up on a Standing Rock reservation.
You did.
Yeah. I'm Hunkpapa.
You are. Okay.
Yes. And so, it's H-U-N-C. People all say Hunk.
Oh, yes. I've seen K, that with a K,
but
yeah.
It's H-U-N-C-P-A-P-A. Hunkpapa.
So, you know, what I'd love to know is, you know, how, if you think about how you became aware of this figure of Sitting Bull, of his influence or who he was, you know, was that something that was part of your childhood?
No, it wasn't a part of my childhood. I think it was part of the lifestyle that we lived and other people lived, but it had more to do with the type of what see in his time. Sitting Bull was, people forget that he was a visionary, and he was a man of visions. And our belief is that he knew his time was coming, you know, and that, you know, but there would be a time in the future where we would need to reach back into our history and grab those strengths to carry us, you know, in times that where there's going to be this social upheaval or this social, you know, where the threads of society come unraveled, you know, that there'd be a time when we would need to have these types of strengths that would bring us,
right?
You know, that would secure our future. And those were some of those teachings, you know. So some of our greatest tragedies, when you look at how we view life in a circle, is we can turn those tragedies into strengths.
And so I think you're also saying that it wasn't even so much that people would talk about Sitting Bull, but that what he taught and modeled is part of kind of a sensibility of a way of living.
Yeah, he was an example. What people would, you know, when people develop faith, how strong faith is and how strong the strength of faith, you know, the more faith you have, the more confidence one has, you know, and people, and we got that through practicing ceremonies.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So that was one of the things that he, and the greatest one right now is being able to have those visions and how we have them. There's a ceremony that's been gifted to us through the sacred pipe where we, you know, we build that. We build our faith through that. And that's the vision quest, or the humblechia, you know.
And is the vision quest as important for you in terms of Sitting Bull as the Sundance? Because I think other people emphasize his part in the Sundance.
You know, I think that's really a good question, because today, you know, we see people making a choice to enter the Sundance circle without being spiritually guided. And you're spiritually guided by the vision you received by through fasting and praying.
Through
the vision quest, through the humblechia, you know. And a lot of people are going to Sundance without going on the hill, or that's kind of like a term that we use, you know, for vision quest, go and do their vision quest. So they feed off each other's strengths. You know, so however strong a circle is how strong the people are that the you're sharing that Sundance with.
Hmm.
You know, and the old ways where absolute, you know, you abstain absolutely from food and water. We don't. I've seen places where that doesn't happen. You know, but today, with where we practice, where Sitting Bull lived, Sitting Bull's camp, we still practice that way. Once you go in, there's no more food, there's no more water. You're obligated to fulfill that commitment. Plus you're also obligated to tell us what brought you to that circle. You know, I'm a part of what you call the Wakichuze. It's kind of like a committee. I guess it'd be the word for committee. And that's our committee, made up of about 12 of us, 12 men, that ensures the integrity of that ceremony. So you know, so we ourselves have I guess been through the ceremony and been through our fasting, our vision quest, and those things that spiritual guidance has led us to do what we do, you know.
So if I asked you, so again, you know, for many generations, I think Sitting Bull came down in American history as this, you know, as kind of a military political leader. And it's very clear to me that he was very much a spiritual leader for his people and that that's his legacy. And if I ask you to explain, you know, what that means, that term, thinking about Sitting Bull as a spiritual leader, what does that mean for you? Or, you know, is that even a term you would use? What language would you want people to hear around this?
You know, the reason why we know Sitting Bull the way we know Sitting Bull is because of all the non-Indian documentation that's been done on Sitting Bull.
Yeah.
You know, and so a lot of opinions and beliefs and how people have pattern and whatever we derive from that is usually derived from all those writings over the ages. But when you look at the people, when you actually go to his people, you see Sitting Bull in those people, in his people, this leads me to his song. You know, his song says this. The words to his song says, "My friends," he says, "My friends, be strong, because me, I am nothing." He says, but who you will see is Sitting Bull is who you will see. So what he was saying in that is that he put everybody before him. So if you come to the Grand River Valley there and to where his people are at, you will find that people will probably gift you with the best they have, you know, and make you feel the most comfortable and at ease doing your visit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you will find that a lot of them do that. They put other things, from children to the elderly to everything else, first, you know. So you see that in people. I believe there's been a term, a phrase has been coined now. They call it servant leadership, you know.
Yes.
And so that's what we see that in his people, you know. So you know, that spirit is working yet today in his teachings, you know, where people put others before them. And they look at Sitting Bull as being Ikchewichasha. Ikchewichasha is a word for just a common man, you know, no better than nobody, you know, like that. And so that's how we would see that, you know. And yet he, I guess, another word would be humble.
Yeah,
you know, the humble walk that he did. There was on Standing Rock, we had this, it's named after this rock, and they had this dedication long time ago, late 18th century. And when they dedicated that rock, Sitting Bull was there. But among his people, he wasn't chosen to be the one to dedicate the rock, you know. And today, I remember there's some people look back and question that. You know, he was there. Why didn't he was asked? And yet the people that they asked were ones that the people believed would be the ones that could do the best job at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he showed up and he supported them,
right,
you know. So
right.
He was just one of everybody else too as well. So it wasn't like a hierarchy type of thing. It was more of how this circle, everybody's a part of it, you know, and as opposed to somebody being better or above one another, you know, they're all equal in that circle. And each one's strengths add to the strength of that circle.
So it's more embodied, and it's also, as I understand, you know, it's more this spiritual sensibility expresses itself a lot through ceremony. And I've also understood that, was there a Sundance established in Sitting Bull's honor at Standing Rock? Is that right?
It was established at where he lived. And let me, I don't know where you got that it was established in his honor, because it's, you know, the man that had the vision, his name is Isaac Dog Eagle, and he is related, you know, you can follow his lineage and it'll come to Sitting Bull, mm-hmm. and it'll go beyond that too, you know, but it's, he had the vision to one day go back out there and to have this ceremony out there. But prior to having the ceremony and the Sundance, the Wiwangwachi, when you interpret it into English language, you lose a lot. But
yes, I and that,
when
yeah.
you so this ceremony, the Sundance ceremony is so that the people may live. You do this so that the people may live. That's why you do this ceremony. Hmm. Sacrifice so that the people may live. But prior to having this out there on where Sitting Bull was killed, was, you know, they had to have a what they call a Hunkayapi ceremony of making a relative ceremony. So that's what they did. We got together and we asked all the people that were associated or had any involvement in that incident that occurred, that tragedy that occurred back in 1890, December 15th. And that means all the police, their descendants and relatives, and all the, even the McLaughlins.
Really?
You know, yeah.
So we
offered them all to come. Mm. And then all the people like Isaac, and he asked all of us to bring food and to bring clothing, to bring water, and we would make them relatives, you know, so that we can grow from that, you know, because it happened among our people.
Yes.
You know, so that's what we did. We had this Hunkayapi ceremony. So we made relatives back then and before we could proceed on so that, you know, our people can live. And this took place some, I gauge it on my son's age. Hmm. My son is 24, and the first year we had it, my wife was carrying him.
Okay.
So, you know, it was 25 years ago that we had this, the first time that we had it out there. But it was through a vision that we would go back there and we would start this healing process among our people. I don't know where it came that it was in honor of Sitting Bull,
you know. Well, that makes sense.
But it was to bring a healing to our people, because today there's a lot of things that we're going through. You know, people are talking language, they're talking a lot of things, but governmentally wise, if you come to Standing Rock, even here in Bismarck, you know, you find things that are predominantly from that time. You see here in town, the Grant Marsh Bridge, we pass by Fort Lincoln, we pass by Custer's house on Standing Rock. There's right. Fort Yates, right. named after somebody. There's Fort Rice. There's there's Bullhead. There's a town called Bullhead. There's a town called Little Eagle. There's a town called McLaughlin. You know, it's just infested with that type of mindset yet. You know, mm-hmm. and people almost are, I guess there was a time where people were even cheering on the Calvary, you know, when you went to a show, you know. And so, you know, it assimilation was that strong. The assimilation process was that strong, you know, even to today, you know. And there are still things where people would are saying some things are okay, you know, whereas the traditionalists would say, no, that's not okay, you know. So it's, You know, there was a lot of things that we need to heal from and continue to, you know, and it's happening. Bullhead, the people of Bullhead changed that name to Rock Creek. You know, how that area used to be known in our language, Rock Creek. And then the same way with Little Eagle, he was a policeman, but they changed that town's name to Running Antelope to honor the chief at that time, Running Antelope. See, Sitting Bull wasn't the chief at that time. It was Running Antelope that was in that area. And then there was like McLaughlin, the Indian community of McLaughlin.
And McLaughlin was the head of the Indian, what they called the Indian Army.
The Indian agent, I guess.
Indian agent, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they changed that, the Indian community of that place, they changed it to after a man that owned land in that area, and he wanted to live in that area near for trading purposes, and his name was Bear Soldier. So that's what they changed their part of the community after him. You know, so it is, you know, Long Soldier in 48, you know, our community is now known as Long Soldier. You know, mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that have changed since that, you know, and it's steadily, you know, and we're continuing to pray, you know, continuing to have the ceremony where we make relatives and continuing to pray so that our people may live.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, well, it's really great talking to you and hearing all that. I guess, you know, when I said in honor of Sitting Bull, I don't know. I think that was language I used, but it seems to me that it does honor. I mean, you're talking about ceremonies that were important to him in that spirit of humility.
Yeah.
And healing.
Yeah.
So I would like to hear, you know, when you say Sitting Bull's song, does that mean this was a song that he sang?
No.
Okay.
The people sang for him.
Okay. In his lifetime or after?
Yeah. In his lifetime.
Okay. Could you sing?
Towards the end of his lifetime.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to ask my son to sing that song.
Okay. We heard that your son has a beautiful voice.
Well, that's how these things continue.
Yeah.
Continue to live. It's he's going to sing that song. No? Yeah. This guy's recording it. So
okay. So I'm going to walk through the song right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Let me ask you something else while he's doing that. We want to find ways to, you know, to, as I say, kind of help people get a sense of the Sundance while being respectful of the fact that it's not something that you can participate in online or even, as you say, casually. So we're trying to be creative about that. And one thing, my online editor, he's not here today, but he said, you know, he understands that there are different... Okay.
Hey, ke hey hey ke a pela hey oh.
They're not. They're done. Did you hear them?
Oh, okay.
That was amazing. Sorry, what was that? They were trying to talk to me from behind the glass. Oh, what, the drum? You're wondering what the drum was? Oh, without the drum. Oh, sorry. With the drum, is the drum always a part of the song? Or okay. All right. Okay. And is that a song that, say, has your son? Does is that sung today at Standing Rock? Is that something he would know? At the Standing Rock, or
uh-huh. They have a ride down the Wounded Knee every year from December 15th to December 29th. Mm. They ride horseback down, you know, because after when Sitting Bull was killed on the 15th of December, a lot of his people left, you know, and they all went towards Pine Ridge. They called Red Cloud Agency at the time, and then Wounded Knee subsequently happened, but they were left in the dead of winter, and over about a 3 to 4 day period, and some 40, some they say 50, 60, some Hunkapapas were are down there in that mass grave of 300 and some, mostly women and children. Mm. So that's, but we sing that in remembrance of him, honor him on December 15th.
Wow.
And then that's part of the activities that go on that day. And then again, after we get down there on the 29th, sometimes we're there, sometimes other people are there. And sometimes that song is sung, or they sing other songs too as well. Because songs have been made since that time that still talk of what's going on or what happened, but it also reflects how the feeling is for people.
Yes.
You know, like,
yes.
Like back then, a lot of songs were made that have a phrase in it that says, "Otechikelo lakolwi chokaki otechikelo." That means this Indian way is hard. Today, there's a lot of other words that are in songs that say, Blehichiapo, they tell you to be strong, or they say, Oyokipielo, you know, where they tell you to feel happy, to feel good about things, you know. So those are some variations of how a song is telling how society is transist as well, you know. So it's but our history is in our songs. So,
yeah.
You know, and our songs also speak of faith as well. You know,
right? Is there another song specifically associated with Sitting Bull? I mean, that's fine if the one you just sang is it.
Yeah.
But is there another one that?
Oh yeah, there's. Do you remember I told you about Fort Buford?
Yes.
That morning he walked around the camp and he sang a song. And that song basically talked about it was him, Sitting Bull, telling his people how once we were fighters, and now, you know, that's not going to be no more, you know. And it talks about, you know, that lifestyle and stuff, you know, and how almost like a longing for not to forget this way, you know.
Right.
So that's another song. That's one that he's saying personally. And you want him to sing that, he could sing that as well.
Yes, we'd love to hear that.
Okay. You want to sing that one?
You want to sing it for
drum? Yeah.
Okay.
There'd be no drum with this one. Set it up again.
Okay. And if it, with or without the drum is fine with us.
Yeah,
if he wants to do it.
This is a song, you don't use a drum.
Okay.
Hey, 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 ya ye lo e ya te ye ke ta wa o ai hey o hey ai o ai ai hey ai o ai ra hey ha ra hey ha ra hey ha yo hey yo hey ha yo hey 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 ke cheze wa o kwe wa na he na yo ye lo Hey, oh, day, I get out. Hey, 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 hey,
thank you. This is amazing. We can't even hear the full sound, but it's incredible.
Well, you're going to send it to you, so you'll be able to.
Yes. Wow. It's just beautiful. I'm really, really grateful for this. It, you know what I mean? We didn't know any words or hear you talk about it, there's so much comes through in that song.
Yeah.
Here's one other. I don't want to keep you because I'm so happy for you giving me your time. The question my online editor had was, he's heard that for the Sundance there are say 4 days.
Yeah.
And that there are different songs for the different days.
Yep.
And he's wondering if we might have a flavor of like the different sound of the 4 days, but if that even makes sense. Does that make sense? Or would an outsider not even hear the difference? I don't know.
Well, it depends. See, there's a song when you first start, it's early in the morning. You know, so mm-hmm. The morning star, there's that prayer song to the morning star. And then when they bring the pipe in, There's a song. My wife's here too. She could sing that song.
Really?
That's the wife, the woman.
Yeah. We'd love to hear those if you wanted.
When the woman brought the pipe, there was a song that she sang. Mm. She sang when she brought the pipe. So when they bring the pipe in, she's singing this song. Mm. And then after that, then there's other songs that go with the ceremony too as well. They talk about getting the Sundance tree. There's songs that go with that. There's songs that the first day, you know, there's just straight prayer songs. And then the second day, there's some prayer songs that have words in them, talk about why they're doing this and loving what they do, you know, and calling the spirit of the eagle, you know, coming in and things like that. So it goes on like that. So but there's only so many songs,
mm-hmm.
and I guess the word would be repetitive. So
right,
you would sing these over until you get to the last day where they do the sacrificing, and then there's songs that are sung when they do the sacrificing. So and then at the end, then there's a song that they sing that I guess I don't know how you would term it, but it's when the spirits leave. There's a song that accompanies that as well. So there's not one song where you would that would capture that whole flavor, because you know there's so much that goes into that.
Right.
There's I'm gonna tell you something too, because there's the nightlife that goes on there. There's some things that I guess the experience.
Yeah.
If you don't have the experience,
you're
missing out on, I guess the energy and mm-hmm. the spirit of it, and then you how do you capture that?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you can't.
If you're looking, that's why I'm just saying that, because when I hear the word flavor, you see, because my wife did some CDs. And some traditional women CDs, and we were, my son is a singer, and sometimes we do presentations,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard for, until they hear it, it's hard for people to grasp it until they hear it, because that's part of that energy and that spirit.
Yeah.
But there's, I don't know if...
What about if we heard the one at the beginning of the morning that you said, because people could at least have an image, you know what I mean, of dawn. And then we'd love to hear your wife sing the song.
Okay, I'll ask her. Wife, you want to sing a song? I know. Well, she knows that.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Which one? Okay. Okay, my wife's going to sing a women's encouragement song, and maybe she said she wants to sing if there's another song, maybe if you could sing. Which one? Yeah. That's all I know. Okay, they're trying to figure out which one would fit.
That's a Okay,
there are songs, but which one would be most appropriate, I guess.
All right, well you choose and okay. We want to be respectful of your time, but
well, my wife's there's a my wife, shall I tell her?
Yeah.
My wife had a I'll just say it this way. She had a spiritual experience. And this is how songs come into the ceremonies, you know. And through her spiritual experience, she was gifted with the song. And she brought that to the ceremony. And because it was supposed to be part of that ceremony. So now that we utilize this song, it's part of the ceremony. So that's the song that she's going to sing.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And it was gifted to her through the crickets. So she calls it the cricket song, and everybody knows it all over the world now as the cricket song.
Okay.
And I'm truly mean all over the world too.
Okay. Yeah.
Wakantaka Ushimaya, Ushimaya, Le mi e cha chokata na waji e yo. Chokata na waji eu. Me talk yet, wasi.
Thank you. Thank her for me.
Yeah, that's the words of that mean that Great Spirit says, have pity on me, because it is me out here in this circle. So those basically the words to that song.
Do we have time for one more from the Sundance, maybe?
Yeah. And my son's going to, if you wanted to have that one other song.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Okay. Any straight song, something.
A straight song?
Anything, yeah. She said something that captured a melody. She said something. So.
About that, the entrance song.
Go ahead. Yeah. Okay. He's going to sing a song here. Then.
Okay.
And after he's done, I'll let you know one it is.
All right. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, yeah, yeah, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey.
Thank you. Is that from the? Is that the song you said that it's the at the very beginning of the Sundance?
It's
in the morning.
It's one of them. It talks about grandfather. You know, have pity on me. It's difficult. You know, in this where I'm standing. You know,
Okay.
Well, look at me. I guess that's just some of what it says in there.
I can't thank you enough, and please thank your wife and your son for me. Sorry, what's your wife's name?
Is it Sissy?
Sissy, and your son is Rick, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for this, and we will let you know exactly how we're using it. And you know, you've been in touch with Nancy, I believe. So Nancy will be your point of contact, and she might have some follow up questions just to make sure we get something right.
Okay.
This has just been really, really wonderful. So thank you very much.
You bet.
Okay.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You too. Bye bye.